You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, July 27th, 2012. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District. Today on the program, I lose my voice. And, of course, Cliff Schechter. From Cliff Schechterville. Matthew Film Guy will be here to give us a movie selection for the weekend. And gosh, who knows? Who knows who may call it? Or I am. Or just walk through this door of the office because we never lock it. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a quick break because I forgot to get Jeff on the phone. And then we will play his theme song, and then we will begin the show. Hey, what's up?
Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schechter. From LibertasLLC.com. Cliff.
Samuel, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. It's Friday. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Living for the weekend, as they say. They do say that.
What are you doing this weekend, by the way? Anything fun?
No. Why? Are you?
I may be in New York for part of it, so, you know, I may have to hunt you down.
All right. Well, text me.
Just me, you, and whoever listens knows about that, so that's cool.
All right. Well, let's keep it under wraps. But every Thursday, Cliff, I start to think about what are Cliff and I going to talk about on Friday? And I always think, you know, during the course of the week that, well, there's no way we're going to have something like Mitt Romney each week. There's no way he can top himself from the week before. There's just no way, because there's other things I want to talk to Cliff about. I want to talk about the tax vote that we saw in the Senate and that we're going to see in the House, which is completely unexpected. I want to talk to Cliff about that Chick-fil-A now that, some of these mayors are going a little
getting bigger and bigger. See, I brought you in on that one, Sammy. I told you it was going big.
I mean, I know. I, you know, and I wanted to talk about this story. Harold Meyerson had an op-ed piece suggesting what the reaction should be if this voter, this conscious voter disenfranchisement in Pennsylvania works. And then, you know, Mitt Romney just proves week after week that he is the worst presidential candidate, certainly in my lifetime. I mean, I don't know history well enough, but I mean, has there ever been a worse presidential candidate than Mitt Romney?
I think Millard Fillmore had some serious issues. You know, it's a fantastic question. I'm trying to think of all the people who've gotten the nominations. You know, I wasn't alive. Well, I was alive, but by about 6 months. And you were a young tot. I don't think George McGovern was a particularly good presidential candidate, but
no,
he
wasn't a great candidate, but he was not.
Breaking into the DNC headquarters probably helped Nixon out somewhat, too.
McGovern wasn't a great candidate, and of course he had that problem with Eagleton, I guess it was.
The whole psychotherapy thing. And you know, from history that I've read, Adlai Stevenson wasn't. But seriously, what I'm trying to do here is reach back to like the worst I can find. I think John Kerry was certainly not a good one, but no, Mitt Romney. I think you honestly have to argue at this point because again, you kind of summed it all up there at the beginning. You know, we don't have to look for ways to make fun of him every week. I mean, I want this to be a fun segment. Things come up like the shooting last week, which, and, you know, I don't feel like as much in a fun kind of mood. But, you know, Romney, like it would be malpractice as people that analyze politics and at least in your case are a comedian. And in my case, I try to be one and fail most of the time, to not look at Mitt Romney because the combination of the comedy and the political just, you know, idiocy, for lack of a better word, it's amazing.
And first off, I actually think that you're generally funnier, at least on Fridays. I try and save my comedy for earlier in the week, so I've let you do the heavy lifting on Fridays. Let me just read off a couple of the headlines from Britain. Mitt the Twit, says the Sun tabloid. Romney's a wannabe president. The Independent, Romney shambles. The Daily,
which became like a trending thing on Twitter. Romney shambles.
Daily Mail, Romney devoid of charm, offensive, and a wazcock. A wazock. I don't even know what that means.
So
I don't know what a wazock means.
It was going to be a charm offensive, and instead he's been not charming and offensive.
They
awesome.
Referred to him as just daft. I mean, there's a list, I think, on America Blog of 23 newspapers from Britain, and they all just basically says, who asked you to come? Get out of here. You've got
– And that's the thing. It's so beautiful. As someone, first of all, who lived over in England, I studied abroad there. I can so appreciate all of this because I know – You know, if you ever see kind of – I brought this up to you, I think, the other day when you and I were doing Ring of Fire. But I think if you ever seen movies like Love Actually and the ones that those guys make that always kind of, you know, Notting Hill, where they always kind of mock America a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you an idea of the British stereotype of sort of the arrogant, aloof, kind of obnoxious American. It's always like a Mitt Romney-type character. And he's gone over there and just – it's like a gift to them. He's fulfilled what, you know, their image of what we are all like. It's sad for us because I hope we're not all like that. But, you know, he is that. And he's gone over there and fulfilled it for them. Meanwhile, on our side of the pond, the most hysterical part of this whole thing is that it's kind of like he came forward with Bane as the reason why you should vote for him, and then that's been ripped to shreds. The other one was this, he saved the Olympics, and he's a statesman and the whole thing. And that's what he was going over there to show, that I may not have foreign policy experience, but I ran the Olympics, and that's an international thing. And you need to be a diplomat and pull people together and make things work and all this sort of stuff. And the first thing he does is he gets off the airplane and insults their Olympics. He makes his little Anglo-Saxon comment. And from there, he's already, you know, spouting and telling people that he's met with MI6. Which would be like, you know, you had a private meeting with the CIA and you come out and you tell people.
Well, and I plus, it's even worse because apparently in Britain, they didn't acknowledge the existence of MI6 till like, you know, a decade or two
94.
Ago. 94.
Right? I studied abroad in England in 92, 93, and they were still not admitting that MI6 existed.
And this is after all those damn James Bond movies when we saw all about it.
You know what he's going to do, Sam? He's totally going to go over to Israel and start talking to them about their nuclear program.
Right. Yeah, you guys, Israel's got
some great... big thing that a country doesn't acknowledge. They have no acknowledgement that they've got nukes. You totally know he's going to do that.
Before we get off of Britain, because, you know, there is actually, like, you know, not only is this a failure from a political standpoint, you know, one of the most important things that you need to be able to do as president when it comes to foreign relations is to exactly not do this type of thing. To speak in a very deliberate way.
And so respectful.
Respectful. I mean, whatever. I mean, there are times where you're not going to be respectful, but you need to be deliberate. He clearly had an agenda, and none of it included getting publicly ridiculed in front of 60,000 people by the mayor of London. That was definitely not on his agenda. It was not to have the prime minister of England say,
the conservative prime minister of England say,
it's one thing, it's one thing to have an Olympics in the middle of the one of the most prominent prominent cities in the world, as opposed to holding it in Nowheresville, where you have a regional airport or whatever he wanted to say.
And I thought at first when I read it that it had been a written statement. That was an actual out loud statement he made to the media and the entire world.
Absolutely. I mean, so this clearly was not on Mitt Romney's agenda. He didn't huddle with his people on the airplane as they're flying over there and go, remember, you want to say something that will get you mocked by every single paper, by both the leader of the country and the mayor of the city. And so it just goes to show that his arrogance is so great that whether he is crapping on somebody who brought him, you know, some cookies.
Or he's making fun of the guys at NASCAR and saying, wow, you really sprang for the big bucks on those ponchos.
He has the same attitude towards everything. I mean, this guy is so convinced that he was, you know, Jesus coming down from the mountain or whatever it is that, John Smith heading, down to the Mayans or whatever it is that he believes, that he thinks that he's this type of guy and he needs to remind everybody of it. Like, you know, there's no way Britain can do what I did, which is I saved the Olympics on my shoulders.
That's it. It's this deep-seated insecurity where he has to always remind you what a man he is and how accomplished he is. And again, it's daddy issues. McCain had them. Bush had them. The Republicans only seem to nominate people that never feel like they can live up to their daddies. And, it's just amazing because to whatever you and I think of how Mitt made his money, whatever, but to have accomplished what he's accomplished overall and feel the need to go and sit down in England and basically – and you know that's where that was coming from. He was trying to sound like the big, you know, savior hero of Salt Lake City and reminding them that, well, I made it work well. So I'm not sure if yours is going to work as well as mine did. Who needs to do that who doesn't have serious small penis issues? I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. And now listen, let's hear Charles Krautheimer. I mean, this is just so unbelievable because when you're getting this on Fox News – this is when, like, you know, they should be sort of rallying around this guy, right? And when you're getting this on Fox News, it is unbelievable. It's an extended clip because this is just, I couldn't say it better. And Lord knows. All right, here, play this Krautheimer.
What Romney answered in that question is unbelievable. It's beyond human understanding. It's incomprehensible. I'm out of adjectives. All the man has to do is say nothing. Nothing in any of the stops on the trip. The statement of the trip is simply the places he's going to. England and Poland and Israel, all of which have been treated roughly and badly by Obama. All he has to do is show up and say wonderful stuff about his host, imply we're going to be strong allies, and everybody in those countries and around the world will understand it's a rebuke, without saying so, a silent rebuke to Obama, who treated the Brits and the Poles and the Israelis pretty shabbily, particularly the Brits. Remember when he came into the Oval Office, he removed the bust of Churchill. There was a State Department spokesman who said there's no special relationship, et cetera, et cetera. Along the list
queen,
of stuff.
The gifts.
And the Queen
to the,
and the gifts
Gordon
and the
Brown.
Falklands Island, in which we have a studied neutrality between the Argentines and the Brits, where we should be solidly on the British side of this. The list is long. And all Romney has to do, say nothing. It's like a guy in the 100-meter dash. All he has to do is to finish. He doesn't have to win. And instead, he tackles the guy in the lane next to him and ends up disqualified.
I mean, I don't agree with Krauthammer about the Obama's treated them shabbily, no. Obviously. But everything else in that analysis is exactly right. It's like you give Mitt a gift. That's the thing that's so amazing about him. And this is what we've been talking about, the unenforced errors, the why would you build, you know, and some people have been questioning that. The New Hampshire, was it the Manchester Union leader that just excoriated him over the tax returns? And a very conservative newspaper, right, that always is one of those first that picks people in New Hampshire primary and brought up why, what we've talked about, why would somebody who has known for 6-8 years they're going to run for president have this issue with the taxes and with all these other things? Why? And you just ask yourself, like, is he stupid? I mean, are we overestimating the man's intelligence, or is he that arrogant that he just thinks that the laws of gravity do not apply to him? You go to a foreign country, you sit down in front of their press, you insult them.
Well,
hire your own lobbyist to add 8,000 square feet to your private home, and you think that's not going to be an issue when I'm running during an economic disaster, you know, that we've had the last couple of many years since the crash. I'm going to run, and that's not going to be a problem for me. I mean, it just boggles the mind. I'm spending a whole weekend with my family on the 4th of July. The picture I'm going to choose to use is the one on the jet ski.
Right.
You know, I mean, you just sit here and you're like, is this guy an alien? I mean, is his social IQ in negative territory? I don't, you know, it's sort of like Krauthammer. I'm at a loss because this was so easy.
Listen.
To go to England, compliment them, talk about how special and strong a relationship was going to be, how you were going to value it. The exact thing, even though I may not agree with Krauthammer's, you know, silliness, in my opinion, on Obama offending England, but the implication would have been just very clear, which is I'm going to be better for this relationship than Obama.
He could not help himself. He just couldn't help himself. Listen to what the reaction of the London mayor. This is in front of 60,000 people in
Live.
London.
That doesn't include all the people watching.
Right, exactly, exactly. Listen to this. This is just unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like this in all my life. The excitement is growing so much. I think the Geiger counter of Olympomania is going to go zoink off the scale. People are coming. People are coming from around the world, and they're seeing us, and they're seeing the greatest city on earth, aren't they? And there are some people who are coming from around the world who don't yet know about all the preparations we've done to get London ready in the last 7 years. I hear there's a guy called Mitt Romney who wants to know whether we're ready. He wants to know whether we're ready. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Oh my God.
Yes, we are.
Stop it. I mean, can you imagine?
Please.
Can you imagine
yes.
being the campaign staff?
I was thinking about that in Boston.
Watching the TV, and there's 60,000 people there, and you've planned this trip for months, and this is going to be the thing that's just going to show what kind of a statesman he is, and they are mocking him. He is the butt of a joke.
But
in front of 60,000
like,
cheering people. It's
right, and he wants to look president. To me, the key thing there is This is a guy that went over there, a trip he didn't have to take because it was the Olympics and he was going to showcase he had the statesman he was. And he went from that to the mayor of London calling him some guy called Mitt Romney. I mean, just think about that for a second. Think about the way he phrased that. Some guy called. I mean, it's like you've made up into a complete joke. You know, and again, the Bain thing, which was one of his highlights because he won't talk about Massachusetts, has somewhat effectively been taken away from him and turned into a negative. He's now done that with the Olympics all on his own. I mean, the whole rest of this campaign, if he tries to mention how he saved the Salt Lake City Olympics, what's everybody going to think about?
Right. They're just going to think about how he, I mean, honestly, like the press release that I would be writing right now if I was with the Romney campaign would be something to the effect of, Mitt Romney does not soil himself in London. I mean, that's like basically he never pooped his pants
Merkel
there.
A surprise massage.
The entire time he was there, he never pooped his pants. and so
that's the whole thing. Well, he can say he has not yet, like his Republican predecessor, sexually harassed the German chancellor.
It's
so there's a step up.
It's unbelievable. We got audio from those morons and Fox and Friends. Let's just hear how they try and defend it. I don't know. I mean, let's just
it's gotta be funny.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
And Romney has got some work to do, and what happened in the last 24 hours over in England, right, where he seemed to go out of his way to offend the Brits, isn't going to help. So
it was like
this
candid response
this is a close
to
election.
A security question, and that
and
was
the British press
and the British press to go in and town with it. I think the British press better back off, and so should the officials. This guy could be president, and the last guy you want
to
have.
You know, let me just say, if you ask me, I'll say this to you, not to Ali, because I'll really get in trouble if I say it to Ali.
Who cares? Chris Wallace is about to tell, you know, say in as polite a way as he can. That's the most idiotic remark I've ever heard. But
right.
But the best is you got
but because in the end, like really, because the British press, once you start being president of the United States, then they stop criticizing you. Right?
Or at that point, what will happen? I mean, this guy could just basically. I mean, literally, the whole point is right is that their message is that Obama, you know, sent back the bust. He doesn't recognize the special relationship, and then you've got this. Is it Douchey or who? What? Kilmeade saying, like, you better watch out. This guy could be president and just basically say, you know,
he's going to bomb you.
Going to bomb London. I mean, what is he? What does this mean? And then, you want to hear the direct security question he was asking? I mean, when you actually hear the question he's answering from Brian Williams, it actually becomes more egregious because Williams has started off by going, you must be so psyched to have your dressage horse here. And Romney's going, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great. We have somebody representing, you know, the country, you know, and we didn't even play the part where Krautheimer said, like, why are you doing that? Like, you know, why do you have to have your horse in the most hoity-toity of all the sports in the Olympics? Why do you need to do that? Why can't you just skip the Olympics out here? But so Williams has set him up.
Another great question.
Listen to Williams, and it's even the visual is even that much more sort of. Hopefully you'll be able to hear this. I'm not sure you'll be able to. Hopefully you will be. But it's just unbelievable. There was no reason for Romney to say this other than the fact that he's just so proud of himself. And
right.
Not just so proud of himself, but necessarily has to cut down others.
Well, he has to seem like the big guy who sits in judgment, which it always seems like he has to be.
Here
he gets to sit in judgment of everybody else.
Here's the audio.
Which I'm sure the people that are associated with this are looking forward to.
And in the short time you've been here in London, do they look ready to your experienced eye?
You know, it's hard to know just how well it will turn out. There are a few things that were disconcerting. The stories about the private security firm not having enough people, the supposed strike of the immigration and customs officials, that obviously is not something which is encouraging. Because in the games, there are three parts that make games successful. Number one, of course, are the athletes. That's what overwhelmingly the games are about. Number two are the volunteers, and they'll have great volunteers here. But number three are the people of the country. Do they come together and celebrate the Olympic moment? And that's something which we only find out once the games actually begin.
That is, you know, like number three, but it's the country of the people. I don't know if they're really the people of the country. I don't know.
But that was gratuitous, too. He insults the people beyond.
The look on Brian Williams' face. He's just asked sort of like, here's a question. Like, he, the premise of that question is, you've been here for a very short time, i.e., I'm not going to expect a real answer here. I know you're going to give me a fluffy answer. You've been here for a really short time. Obviously, haven't been able to make any type of real, concerted determination. But what do you think? Are these guys ready or what? No, I don't. I don't think they are. I think there's some real questions about it.
What's clear at this point, if you take ideology out of this, you and I obviously are opposed to him because his ideology, or the one we think he now represents, because that could change, as we know. But what I think is nobody likes this man. I don't even know how his wife likes him. He basically insulted her and said he wasn't going to be watching her horse compete. That's for Anne. If you're going to have it there, wouldn't you support your wife? If you just look at it, none of the Republicans who've run against him either time, the one person they've all seemed to hate is him. His neighbors in his house in San Diego where he's building all that stuff have talked to the press and hate him. You know, the whole incident with him cutting the kid's hair, he tried to get some of his old high school chums to defend him, and half of them in that article insulted him while they were supposed to be defending him. I guess it's just clear at this point, he's just a jerk. You know, he just has no social skills. He thinks he's better than everybody else. The old saying about George Bush Sr. is much more true about him, about being born on third base and thinking he hit a triple. And he just can't relate to real human beings. Again, it happens again and again. He shows up at a restaurant and trashes the restaurant, doesn't even thank the woman there for hosting him or let her get her picture with him. He's just a dick. I don't really know how to say it.
This goes beyond that because – this is one of those situations where it's sort of like, what if this guy was going into a sensitive situation? There's being a dick and then there's being a dick. And the problem here is that his personality gets in the way of a very clear and basic agenda here. And one wonders, I never really even contemplated that foreign policy would play a big role in this. I've been concerned about this guy being, sort of surrounded by neocons and sort of agitating for a war with Iran. But I don't know that this guy could do even the basic functions of diplomacy in any fashion, even if that was what his agenda was. This is kid stuff. There isn't anybody. I don't think there's anybody in this office, frankly, who Brian Williams couldn't sit down with on a moment's notice and say, what do you think about the British? What do you think about the games? Do you think there's a chance? I don't know anybody who wouldn't say, like, far as I can tell, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know. It's just unbelievable. But let's turn a little bit to something a little bit more relevant in this case. I don't know if it's more relevant, but it's certainly off the beaten path a little bit. Harold Meyerson has a piece. You've seen the numbers coming out of Pennsylvania. We know that the Department of Justice is looking into this. The ACLU has filed suit. And in that suit, Pennsylvania has, by their own admission, in their own filings, have said, we have no knowledge of any prosecutions, investigations about voter fraud. We don't anticipate any problems in 2012. Yet, we are going to attempt to throw off the rolls. It depends on whose numbers you believe, but it seems to be a minimum of 9.2% of registered voters. This is from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. 18% in Philadelphia. The updated numbers from their rolls of people who have not renewed their licenses doubles both those figures to 18% in the state to 48% of registered voters in Philadelphia. And Harold Meyerson says, if it turns out that Pennsylvania, if these voter ID laws stand, and it turns out Pennsylvania is the swing state that gives the presidency to Mitt Romney, he says, that the Democrats should contend, that the Democrats should perceive his winning as illegitimate, that mass demonstrations should be in order, and so would a congressional refusal to confirm any of Romney's appointment, because...
I would agree with all of that.
And specifically because it's premised on disenfranchising black people, which of course...
Which is what happened in 2000, and we didn't know about it then until after the fact. The Jeb Bush, Catherine Harris purge lists that even if you get past all the other crap that went on, you know, Bush would have never started off with that 537-vote lead had thousands upon thousands of African-Americans purged from the voter roll.
15,000 people who should have been able to vote, who came from heavily Democratic and heavily minority districts, not allowed to vote. It wouldn't have been even close.
No, it wouldn't have been. So that gets beyond all the other shenanigans that went on, butterfly ballots and the rest. Yes, I mean, to me, the key problem here, and we talk about this often, is wimpiness on the Democratic part. Would they do it? Because they're not, you know, I mean, I would be ready. There's certain things that are worth risking yourself and your life for. I would be ready to go out in the streets in March and refuse essentially to see Mitt Romney as my president if this is the way he were to win.
Yeah, you know, but it's interesting to hear a guy like Harold Meyerson saying this. I mean, Harold Meyerson's right. Not, you know, he's writing this in the Washington Post. I mean, it's an interesting thing to see at this point.
Well, in 2000, you know, a lot of us, we're pissed at the time that Al Gore gave up so quickly.
Yep.
You know, that Warren Christopher was advising him and said, whoa, we have to, you know, like essentially they had to adhere to the Queen's rules.
But wasn't it Daley? I thought it was Bill Daley who was the biggest
force. Daley, too. At least in that movie, that recount movie, and again, it's a movie, so who knows. The worst portrayal, Daley didn't seem to fight hard, but the worst portrayal was of Warren Christopher, who felt that you had to conduct yourself like gentlemen.
I'm not sure where this reporting is from, but I'm pretty sure that Daley had said to Gore at one point, you got screwed. But look, black people get screwed all the time, too, and they have to go on. So we need to move on, which was rather weird because, A, it's not just Al Gore who got screwed in that situation.
That's the narcissism of looking at it like it was only they were the ones getting screwed as opposed to all the people that had put their time, money, efforts, hopes, and the rest behind them.
And also,
a lot of people felt
the Democratic process.
You know, a lot of people felt the same way. Yeah, that too. And a lot of people felt the same way about Kerry in 2004 because Ohio was kind of dicey. And you even look at most recently when before the count, the vote count was finished in the Wisconsin recall, a woman walked up to Tom Barrett and slapped him.
Yeah.
Because she was so angry because he conceded before the voting was even done being counted. And we already knew that there was that Waukesha County woman that was very questionable in what she had done in past elections. I mean, the problem here is I have no faith in the Democrats to fight for anything. If I did, I would say, you know, yes, because it is worth fighting for because Pennsylvania is ridiculous. Pennsylvania, they keep calling it a swing state. It really hasn't been close. It hasn't been one of those states where, you know, like Iowa or something or New Hampshire that the Democrats the last few times have won by 2 points, 1.3, but whatever, or the Republicans have. It's been a blowout. Pretty much. It's been high single digits to low double digits. And that's even in elections where Democrats lost. So it really shouldn't be as close as they're making it out to be unless there was a kind of a landslide where Obama was going to lose anyhow and it wouldn't really matter.
Right.
And what they're doing is, and I have had this conversation with you before, it's very obvious to me what they're doing because I lived in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is a city that is a lot like New York that has very good public transportation and has a lot of college kids who come in and from out of state to go to schools like Penn and Temple and Drexel and whatever, and the parking isn't great, so you don't really need a car. So there are a lot of people there that you can register to vote there. I did when I was in college in Philly. I voted – first time I voted a presidential candidate was for Bill Clinton in 92. So you can vote there. So a lot – what they're trying to do is in a lot of cases is say, well, you don't have a driver's license. Too bad. You can't vote here. It's about suppressing minorities. Of course, it always is. But don't think that a large part of it isn't realizing that about Philadelphia and that they can suppress a lot of the student vote too. And so this is what they're trying to do. And if you sit there and you allow this, then, you know, it's just, these are the things that demoralize people on the left that want to support the Democratic Party. I mean, I'm glad the Justice Department is looking into it. It shouldn't be politicized because it doesn't have to be. It's obvious what they're doing here. They've admitted it. They've not only admitted that there's no fraud, but a member of the damn legislature came out and said, we've delivered Pennsylvania to Romney.
The party leader, that guy Tarzi or
right.
whatever his name is.
Right. I mean, how much more evidence? I'm not a lawyer, but Jesus Christ. I mean, do you need any more evidence than his statement, their statements admitting that there's no fraud here, and who it is that's going to be disenfranchised? I mean, what more would you need to overturn this? I looked at some of the other states on the list, you know, and while it doesn't bode well, I guess, for people who are down ballot, it stinks in terms of the presidential. Most of them wouldn't affect it. I think it was like Kansas and Texas and places the Democrats aren't going to win this time around. Kansas never, but Texas is heading our direction, but it's not going to happen. But, you know, in Indiana, which I think people would say Obama won, but ain't looking so close this time. But, I mean, the principle of it, of course, comes into play anyhow, which is how the hell do you let them get away with this?
Right.
Again and again and again and again. I don't know. You take it from there.
You've said it all. Let's move on to Chick-fil-A. Somebody sent me an email, a tweet after last week, and said it's not Chick-fil-A, that the A means something different.
Really?
I don't know. And then that was it. It was very cryptic.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Everybody calls it out here Chick-fil-A. You know, the first time I'd ever heard of Chick-fil-A,
what?
You have to remember, like you, I was living back on the East Coast, was watching an episode of Beavis and Butthead, so that maybe says it all.
Ah, well, I mean, last week I heard when Mumbles Menino had basically said up in Boston had said, you know, we don't want them around here. And I got no problem with the mayor of a city making a proclamation, you know, making a statement like that. What I didn't realize is that he had sort of implied that it would be tough for them to get permits. And then we see Rahm Emanuel and some alderman from Chicago also say, we don't like Chick-fil-A or Fila or whatever the heck it is. And but then go on
just
to say
because their name is stupid.
Then they go on to say that they're going to actually try and ban it from the city. You know, that I get off the bus at that point.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, look, I believe in freedom of speech. Even terrible people have the right to say things. So as far as I'm concerned, if the Truett Cathy clan at Chick-fil-A wants to, you know, hate gay people and say they shouldn't be able to have equal rights to religious nuts like them, they have a right to say that and bring their crappy product wherever it is if there's a demand for it and if they're following all the laws. Now, there have been a few things written up on – I don't have it in front of me right now. I think Progress or someone pointing out that there was potential discrimination in their hiring. That's a whole different story.
Right. Obviously, well, they should be prosecuted. If there's any discrimination in the hiring, they should be dealt with, you know – on that basis, but
that's, you know, Rahm Emanuel from Emanuel, as we all know. I think you can make a statement like that because if they have the freedom of speech to say what they want about they think we're all arrogant and prideful or whatever we are for thinking gays should be able to get married, I think the Menino and Rahm Emanuel have the right to free speech too and to make it absolutely as uncomfortable for them and as negative a PR hit for them to show up in the Boston area and maybe cost them a little bit of business, we hope. And that's fully in his right. But to actually block them and use, you know, the position of mayor to do what you can and not allow them to come there if they're following all laws, that's getting into some pretty dicey territory. I can't support that.
All right. We're on the same page there. Let's we just got a couple minutes here. I want to just touch on this vote. I guess it was on Wednesday morning. The Senate.
Right.
And everybody anticipated the Senate. We knew this week that the Senate was going to take up the idea of letting the Bush tax cuts expire on every dollar made after the first $250,000 for a couple. And
look at you explaining it the way it should be explained as opposed to the way they always do.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's unbelievable to me that to read in the Washington Post the wrong interpretation of that, because there is
right.
no interpretation. I mean, this is just sort of very basic stuff, and it's stunning because it's not like – I don't understand how anybody at the Washington Post – how they don't just like one day, like, hey, you know what I've noticed online for the past 2 years or 3 years is that people keep pointing out about how we keep getting this concept of marginal tax rates wrong. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send out a group email to all the reporters, just making this very clear on how to report. I just don't understand how that doesn't happen. It's just bizarre to me. But
well, after a while, people getting something wrong at some point, but there's just a point in time where it's pretty clear. And if you screwed up, now get it right.
But all right, so moving on. So we figured that Mitch McConnell would prevent this from getting to a vote because by filibustering it. You need, you know, going back to the old, you need 61 votes in the Senate to pass anything. But instead, McConnell announces Wednesday morning that we're going to allow for a vote. And there was an agreement. The Democrats are going to get to vote on allowing all the Bush tax cuts to expire for every dollar after 250 grand. And the Republicans are going to vote to extend those tax cuts for everybody.
Right. That's the reason why, in the end, that they let the vote come to pass, because they wanted to, they thought it made more sense. McConnell and his little evil mind thought, well, now we can vote on getting rid of the tax cuts for everybody. I don't really see that as being a benefit to them if you look at polling or whatever. But, you know, Mitch McConnell's Mitch McConnell. So.
No, but what is going on here? They clearly have a plan, because it's announced today that Bonaire is going to allow for a vote in the House, because, you know, we all heard that, the House will prevent a vote. They'll say we're going to block a vote because this is a blue slip thing where you know, tax bills need to originate in the House. This originated in the Senate, so we're not going to vote on it. But it seems that they're going to basically they're going to have the same vote, essentially, that was taken in the Senate. Of course, the outcomes will be reversed. But what do you make about it? I mean, what?
You know, I hadn't even heard that about what's going on in the House yet. So that is very interesting. Because theoretically, obviously, if enough people vote, well, they must be confident that they're going to block it in the House, and then they're going to get to vote for what they want to vote for.
Right.
The only conclusion I can come to, and then they can claim that Democrats were trying to raise taxes. And Democrats might be weak and wimpy enough not to point out that they weren't. They're trying to protect a tax cut for for everybody, actually. And that the rate they were trying to cut it at was $250,000.
They just seem to, right? I don't know. This seems like a huge opportunity. I mean, you know, particularly with Mitt Romney running around out there, this is going to be, you know, if I'm a Democrat in the House, I'm going to call this the Mitt Romney Tax Relief Act, right? I mean, that's what I'm going to say. The Republicans are voting specifically to provide Mitt Romney with more tax relief. And I'm not going to use the word relief, because in that case, I'm they're going to tax cuts. This is going to be the Mitt Romney Shirk More Taxes Act. And you've got Pelosi out there now, apparently, yesterday at her press conference saying that the money that would be made up for the government over that $250,000 would actually fill the sequestration hole. So you wouldn't have to you would close the deficit by nearly that $1.2 trillion. I think it's around $850 billion, but, I mean, you know, we're $350
billion. It's all some change at that point, right?
Yeah. I mean, give me a sense. We just got a minute here. Why are the Republicans doing that? Do they actually believe this is helpful to them?
They must, because they don't do anything for the right reasons. I didn't know about it, so I haven't given it a lot of thought yet. But yeah, they have to think that they can hit the Democrats with, look, they're trying to raise taxes on job creators and blah 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 and all the garbage that they offer. Because otherwise, I don't see why they would do it. I mean, I don't think that they're fearful enough that they would be seen as blocking tax relief. Which is what I think they should fear, to let it happen and say, well, because in the end, if they vote against it, doesn't really matter, does it? Right. They still try to block tax relief, so it can't be that. So they really have to sort of think that they can make the argument that they're trying to cut taxes for everybody and the Democrats are trying to raise taxes on people. I think that's really what it's going to come down to.
Cliff Schechter, thank you for your wisdom, as always, your humor.
I think you speak too kindly of me, but I do appreciate you're not Mitt Romney speaking to me, or
well,
you thank me for being
stupid,
overbearing, and not quite ready for your radio program.
We all have learned a lesson from Mitt. Don't just, you know, there's no value in being such a dick. I really appreciate you coming on, Cliff, because it's great for me to see how I would be on radio if I didn't have daily practice.
Very good stuff, Samuel.
Cliff, thank you so much. I appreciate it, buddy.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later. There you go, folks. See what I learned from Mitt Romney? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Matthew Film Guy. He's going to give us a film suggestion for the weekend. We'll be right back after this.
Here it is, the Republicans' health care plan for America. Don't get sick.
If you think that's a fair ad, okay, then you're a Republican and an asshole. Have at it, Hoss. Be in that party. Despicable, man.
There's a bad guy.
Endless taxpayer bailout.
Yeah, that's not true.
When Obama won, the reason why we worked so hard for him,
we didn't want a garden variety politician. Taking a stand, not just cutting deals.
That's what vision is. Yeah. That's what vision is.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
Time for a report. We are the majority. Not the sheeple. We are the majority. We the people. Why do we walk? Why do we talk the talk? Why don't we just stand by? Permit your warranty, why? That's why.
All right, that was, of course, Muckraker with the Majority Report song. And before we bring on Matthew Film Guy, in the in a similar spirit, in a slightly different era of metal, I guess, the Matthew Film Guy song.
Matthew the Film Guy is choosing your streams. Cassavetes on Netflix and other such teams.
That's right, Matthew Film Guy with his own theme song. You got to love the guests who show up with their own theme songs.
Yeah, well, I'm polite.
Basically begging himself to recommend us a movie to stream.
What's that?
The song says, give me a movie to stream. He made this song.
Right.
That's in the voice of Sam. Sam is the one asking for the movie to stream, and I'm providing.
That's right. Matthew.
Yeah.
So wonderful to talk to you. It's been, it's been about a month.
Yeah, maybe regular rotation this time. Very good.
I was very careful not to to double up on Isabel, and bump you.
I appreciate that.
I know how sensitive you are about that. and I wanted to let you know that I watched almost all of The Grand Illusion.
Oh, great.
But Nikki sort of like put the kibosh on it halfway through. And I'm gonna watch the rest of it, though, because it was pretty great.
Good. Well, I'm glad you got hooked. And I don't understand. Was it your bedtime or was she not into the movie?
Bingo.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't my bedtime. You don't understand. I don't have a bedtime. My bedtime is when Nikki says, I'm going to bed. And I'm like, all right. And she goes, I'm going to bed. Okay. I'll pause the movie. Well, yeah. Pause the movie and turn it off. What?
Pause it forever.
Right. And then I have to go to bed because she's told me to go to bed.
Is the TV like, yeah. Is the TV in the bedroom?
Look at Matt looking at me like, what? Wait till you get married, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till you have anyone else.
I love the attitude of all the 20 somethings I know.
Yeah.
We're just like, I don't.
I live with
my. I'm not going to let my wife or my kid boss me around. That way, man. Freedom.
I live with my girlfriend, and when she goes to bed, I don't go to bed.
Yeah, I understand.
Well,
I didn't
you
say
show
girlfriend.
Her, don't you?
I've lived with girlfriends too, buddy.
Exactly.
I'm so sick of it. I can't wait.
Like,
I can't wait till all of you guys get old. I can't wait. You too, Matthew.
I'm catching up to you.
No, you're not. You're getting there. What are you? How old are you now? And
I'm going to be 37 next week.
You're kidding.
No.
Dude, you got to get on it.
On what exactly?
Just on the life track. What the heck are you doing?
How familiar are you with my life track, Sam? I think I'm pretty well on the track.
Yeah, I think you are too, actually.
Yeah. You haven't met Mary.
Oh, you guys, what's happening?
Well, you know, we're in a serious thing, you know. That's all I'm willing to say in the air.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but hold on for a second. Why don't you...
Mary and I have been together for almost 3 years.
That's
and
a
it's
long
getting to
time,
a point
particularly
where
at your age, buddy.
We, you know, I don't want to say anything, but we strolled through the mall looking for diamond jewelry the other day. So let's just put it that way.
Did you really?
Yeah, you know, it was a preliminary sort of reconnoiter, but yeah, that's where the conversation's going.
It's just in. From the Shreveport Mall in someone's unaware.
It was the Queen Center Mall.
Queen Center Mall, huh? Wow, that's pretty good. You take it to the mall for what?
Well, look, you know, we looked retail, but there's no way, you know, I'm not buying retail.
No, of course not. No, are you kidding?
Yeah.
You don't buy. You know a guy.
Queen Center Mall.
Yeah, I know my dad. That's your local mall, isn't it, Matt?
Yes, it's a dump.
You took your girlfriend down to a dumpy mall?
She chose it, not me. Well, it's not that big of a dump.
See, that's the way it works. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
I was lucky because I didn't have to go through that. Because my grandmother had her ring from my step-grandfather. Mm. And
I see.
She said to me, I want you to give this to Nikki. And it was like, you know, it's like a, you know, it's a pretty big rock. And I was like, she's not going to, this, you know, it's, but my grandmother wanted me to, you know, so I was like, okay. And I thought, all right. And then of course, you know, and I was still sort of like, how am I going to do this? And then I get a call from my grandmother. She's like, have you given it to her yet? And I'm like, well, no, I'm trying to figure out the right, you know, time. She goes, why don't you grow up? Stop being a baby and do this. And I was like, all right.
And I was
working on pilot season at the time out in L.A. And I was staying on the beach for like 2 or 3 weeks on the Santa Monica Beach. And Nick had come out to stay with me. And I was terrified because, you know, I brought her out onto the beach. I was like, you got to check out this sunset. And I was so terrified because it was dark now almost. So terrified I was going to drop the ring in the sand and we would lose it.
Oh, Oh, God.
And so I was like, is it appropriate that I like put a string on it and just hand it to her and like wait till we get off the beach that she puts it on? So that was, it was just a lot of anxiety, but it went over well. She was happy with it. You know?
Well, that's what you got to do. Beautiful story. Well, now you've given me a lot to live up to here, Sam. I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty romantic. But if you want, I'll see if I can get her to give you the ring to give to her.
Yeah, can I have your grandmother's ring?
Yeah, let's see if that works out.
Thank you. That's great. And you're basically like your grandmother telling me to grow up.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Just grow up.
As if that's all that it takes is being betrothed to grow up, Sam. I'm growing up in a myriad of ways. Mary and I do very, very intensely enlightening and enriching couples therapy. And that has a lot to do with the growing up process.
I'm like one of those really bad, like cheesy DJs from the 70s. I don't know if you remember this, but it used to be like, there was like this explosion of songs in like the early 70s, where they were like, they would integrate a bunch of other songs. So I remember one about Jaws, and it was just like, so Mr. Shark, how are you today? And then they would play some like song like, you know, no, yeah, exactly. And then it would be like, what time is it that you usually go to attack people on the beach? And then it would just be, you know, Chicago's. Does anybody know what time it is, really? And, you know, it was just, there was a lot of that. And I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
And so what you're saying is My Love Life is sort of like one of these 70s songs.
Yeah, if you want.
Okay.
Sure. It's just your life is a song montage.
To you, yeah. I get it.
That's my own version of like a Romney disease. I just see everybody's life
really
just
is.
Sort of like a.
It really is.
I just see everybody's life as sort of like just a canvas for me, which to impose like sort of like song snippets on.
Yeah, Sam, you once organized your own marriage and proposal. Do you think I'm ready to do mine?
Come with me. And you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
You got any other question to ask? You got any other question to ask me?
Yeah. Would you like to hear about my movie recommendation this week?
Woof, woof.
Can you make your guitar talk?
All right. Can I make
what is happening? Matt, take over.
Oh, God. It's Friday, folks. What do you want out of me? Honestly, the whole week I'm sitting here, you know, working through this muck, this myriad of policy stories and I don't know.
Yeah.
So what do you got for us, Matthew?
All right, well, you're going to like this one this week.
Did you happen to notice your buddy Mark Maron tweeting me disparaging comments about Majority.fm blend?
No.
Yeah.
I did not.
Completely.
What the hell's up with that?
Unprovoked. He sends me a tweet that says, hey, Sam, try it out, the Majority.fm blend from Just Coffee. You know he's sponsored by those guys.
For free, I'm sure.
And he doesn't seem to remember that I was the one who set that whole sponsorship up at Break Room Live.
Yeah.
I was the one who did that whole thing. But so he...
I remember.
And he tweets me, I tried it out. It's bitter. And so I responded, oh, maybe you should try filtering it through something more dense. Like your self-awareness.
Good one.
That was pretty good, right?
That was good. That was good. But you know already it's like shooting fish in a barrel there.
I know. But it is a good way to get the message out that you can go to justcoffee.coop, 10% discount, coupon code majority, get the majority.fm blend. And you know really what we should do? We should try and work out, well, I don't know if we can work out any promotion, but what people should be doing is they should be tweeting at Mark Maron about how great the Majority FM blend is from justcoffee.com. That's what people should be doing.
Maybe I'll make that my first tweet.
You don't? Do you not have a Twitter?
I do have a Twitter, but I can't think of anything to say.
It's been on private mode with zero tweets for as long as I've known about it since he's been on the show.
Look at that, Matthew. You got a stalker.
I post when I would post the post. I put his Twitter account in there.
And I have a link to my Vimeo page and to my Facebook page, so I do want to make contact with people. It's just I can't think of anything worth 140 characters, so I don't know. Maybe call it a gimmick Twitter account.
All right. I don't know why, like, you can't come out and just give out movie reviews.
You know, I might do that. Mary actually wants me to do that. Mary actually even wants me to set up my own podcast to do this thing. But you know what?
Here we go. Here we go. Yoko Ono over there, right?
Yeah. No, she's more like Linda. She wants to be with in it with me. She, you know, can write. She takes her own, does her own art.
That's Yoko Ono. Not she's Yoko. The one she's going to try to bake up the band.
Well, I don't know. She's not as, well, let's just say that John and Yoko had a special thing and Mary and I have a special thing. But so did Paul and Linda. No one ever gives Linda shit, you know. Hello?
All right. I don't think you get it, but no, that's all right. Go ahead. Start your own.
No, I get it. She's not breaking us up. Don't worry. She's not breaking us up.
All right.
It was really the death of Brian Epstein that broke up the Beatles, not Yoko. It's a myth.
All right. If you say so, there you go. That's probably going to be – that's if you were on Twitter right now, you'd be getting salamed.
No, the real Beatles fans know what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, tell me what you got for a movie review this week.
All right. So you want something a little bit more action-oriented, and so I've got actually two movies. They're the first film and its sequel.
Hold on for
They're
one second.
Brazil.
Let me tell you this. I was in Seattle, right, over last weekend for the 1090 AM forum. Eventually, the video will be up, and so I go into the first thing I always do is I go and I check the movies because I'm so excited. I'm going to get to watch like an action film,
and no one's going to make you go to bed.
I ended up watching Contraband because it was the best thing on there, and it was horrible.
Contraband. What the hell is
Marky
that?
Mark,
I don't even remember that.
Marky Mark, and it was just some.
Oh yeah.
Bad.
Oh right, he's like a thief, and he tapes money to his body.
I don't know what it was. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I saw the trailer.
Horrible. So what do you got for me?
All right, it's called Elite Squad, and there's Elite Squad 1 and Elite Squad 2, and actually
That's
it's one
a
of those
bad
rare
sign.
Situations. No, it's a good sign because Elite Squad 2 is actually way better than Elite Squad 1, and Elite Squad 1 is pretty fucking awesome. Sorry, I cursed.
We got to move
Elite
that
Squad
down
1
there.
Is on.
1258 and 5944. We got two curses.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Buddy. What was the second curse?
Well, you said,
anyway.
I think, the S word before, and it wasn't Sam. Okay, so what is it? Elite what?
Elite Squad. It's about these movies are incredibly violent. They're incredibly action-oriented. They're about the police squad, who's basically a militarized force in Rio de Janeiro, who have to patrol the favelas, the slums, and they're all like super dense shanty towns, armed to the teeth, run by drug lords and corrupt cops. So the first film is sort of about one lone cop, sort of a Serpico story. Everybody's corrupt. He's trying to find his replacement so he can retire and be with his family and child.
That's practically like my story.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's, you know, it's action-packed. It's highly violent. And the weird thing about it is, if you recall back in the 70s when Dirty Harry and Death Wish came out, they talked about these fascist films. Elite Squad is one of the first, and Elite Squad 2, which is actually its more labyrinthian sequel. It's sort of like the Brazilian Wire, you might say. These movies actually make you root for the fascists. Now, I'm as liberal as they come and leftist and sort of sensitive, but watching these movies, you actually take the side of these fascists who believe that violence is the only way to clean up these favelas, and it makes you feel pretty weird. So it's not your average or just ordinary action film, although I guess in some ways that does that too. But you actually, like, the bad guy in Elite Squad 2 is like a leftist professor who wants the people to be treated with rights, and he's just like seen as weak and ineffectual and just part of the problem. And you're actually like, yeah, he is, he's an idiot. No, stop, because the main character is like this sort of realist, you know, armed, shoot first, sort of ask questions later kind of military guy. Although the second one enters into a lot of gray areas. But it does a weird thing to the brain, and I think you'll really love it. You'll enjoy it just on the visceral action level. And it puts you right in the heart of these favelas, which are extremely dense. And the first film basically tells the story of them trying to clear the favelas of guns when the Pope comes to visit. And they just bust heads. There's no rights. There's no Miranda. And the drug dealers are equally as violent. And it's kind of you see one of the cops sort of becomes friends with these students, and they don't know he's a cop, and they're selling pot in school, and he's like trying to like balance his loyalties between these pot selling kids and his actual police duties. And it's very interesting how it makes you sort of buy into the black and white sort of version of their police work because of how violent and just how awful it is in these favelas.
Huh. Fascinating. This is on Netflix.
Well, okay. Elite Squad 1 is on Amazon. Uh-huh. But Elite Squad 2 is on Netflix.
That's weird.
Got to go to Amazon Instant for the first one. Yeah, I don't know why.
For some reason,
they're not. But I highly recommend you watch Elite Squad 1, and Elite Squad 2 is even better.
Sweet. I'm going to do it, dude.
Yeah, do it. And make sure, you know, Nikki's out of town or something, because
right.
She's not going to want to watch the movie.
No way.
It's violent. It's horrible. There's, you know, young people in the line of fire, and it's, you know... It's a drug war movie, basically.
Now, but wasn't like when I think back at Dirty Harry or Magnum Force, I mean, I think you ended up rooting for Dirty Harry, right? I mean,
You did. You definitely did. And people called the same sort of issues out, but this one is just so magnified because these guys make Dirty Harry look like a pussy. Oh, another bleep. I mean, they're basically. They're militarized. They're fully militarized, and maybe it's a glimpse of things to come in this country. But they have tanks. They have automatic weapons, and everybody is corrupt. They take bribes. They hold hostages. They don't interrogate anybody in the station. They put a bag over his head and put him in the water. You know, I mean, and it's
well,
extreme.
Dirty Harry took that dude right on the football field.
That's true. That is true. And he threatened him with Magnum 45. So yeah, it is. They are the descendants of Dirty Harry. But of course, it's in the hyper stylized sort of. Did you see City of God? That's one of these other recent Brazilian movies in the favelas. It's hyper stylized violence, and so it's sort of. But it's morally questionable. I mean, it's really makes you feel queasy when you realize, like, hey, me, I'm this liberal guy, but I'm rooting for these punks to get shot.
Interesting. Well, Matthew, film guy, great suggestions. It is the Elite Squads 1 and 2. And you,
right.
too, sir, are morally questionable and make me queasy.
Thank you. Thank you. I take that as a high compliment.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Matthew, thank you so much. These are great.
Glad to help.
What are you going to do now? When are you going to your next mall trip?
I'm actually going to go... with Mary to visit my grandparents who are in their mid-90s at this point. So that's another...
All right,
and
buddy.
We're going to go to the beach. Lots of stuff.
Okay, well, that's all I got. All right, Matthew, film guy, thank you so much. Appreciate
You're welcome,
it, buddy.
Sam. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, folks, you know how you can support this program is becoming a member at majority.fm. It is your membership which keeps this show alive, will able it to grow and get better. So please become a member today at majority.fm. We need members. I don't know what else to tell you. You can buy your Amazon junk through our Amazon link at majority.fm /support the show, but it is a membership which is really going to keep this show chugging along. And one of the benefits of being a member is that you get to listen to the second half of the show. So not only do you get the feeling of like, hey, I've supported something that I like, as opposed to all the stuff that I support that I don't particularly like. And you get more content. It's such a win-win for you. All right, folks. See you in the better half. 646-257-3920 is the number. See you there. That's right. We are back. Sam Cedar, the better half of the program, 646-257-3920. You can IM me at Majority FM or at majority.fm@jabber.org. Is that right? Is that what it is? Is it majority.fm@jabber.org or majority.fm at... Yeah, I know.
You signed up for that one.
I did. majority.fm@jabber.org. If you want to IM me, Bush in chains. What is the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, or Tel Aviv? Obama's mouthpiece, sack of shit liar, can't answer the question. Colbert calls out Chick-fil-A's Facebook sock puppet. Oops, looks like the corporate nanny state and pigs and stock market Ponzi schemers are screwing themselves again. Dow 13,000 and there's talk of QE3. Huh? As stupid as Romney is, Obama's being set up for a fall. And he's too stupid to see it coming. Because Jeebus doesn't like darkies, white Baptist church in Missouri bans black wedding. That seems a little extreme. Likudnik, freak and serial inside trader Eric Cantor doubles down on Bachman's McCarthyite Muslim witch hunt. I'll tell you what's going on right now with this, actually. Is... regardless of what happens with the House, and it's starting to look like the chances for Democrats to take over the House are pretty slim. One never knows. I mean, the worse Mitt Romney gets, the better the chances probably are for the House. But there is going to be a massive leadership fight. Boehner knows it. Cantor knows it. It's going to cause Boehner some serious headaches because of that continuing resolution, which is going to come up in, I think, September, October. There's also a lot of moderate Republicans, to the extent that there are any, and most of them are not elected at this point, who are contemplating, it's my understanding, going after Cantor, even if they have to set up a super PAC to do so. Because they see Cantor as the linchpin of the Tea Partyists. When I see Cantor do this, it means that he is also concerned about that, and so he is shoring up his base. He is going to make sure that he is one of these guys, dyed in the wool. That when this fight goes down, this is going to be a very bloody battle. So keep your eyes on that. Breaking news, police thwart mass shooting in Maryland. Says Bush in chains. They've arrested a man only 24 miles from Washington, D.C., who allegedly been plotting to carry out a mass shooting at his workplace, Neil Prescott, 28. Arrested in Maryland on Thursday night after he allegedly phoned in a threat to employer Pitney Bowes. They found more than 20 firearms, including assault rifles, 400 rounds of ammunition at his home. Mark Maron is the Mitt Romney of the Majority Report advertiser universe. Zuckerberg should be in jail for bringing this pig public and bilking the Muppets out of billions of dollars. Facebook tanks again. Incredible. Rick Asfroth Santorum. Oh, gosh. I thought that was actually a name. Defends Penn State pedophiles. Blast French report. Good news. CNN Worldwide President Jim Walton resigns and amid the worst ratings in decades. Left Coast Marcus writes, from Urban Dictionary, WAZOK. Mild equals mild insult. One who is foolish. One who's made an arse of themselves. One who is rather daft. Yesterday you mentioned you have geothermal heat. Does that not use a lot of electricity? Whenever I see those installations, there is a 60-amp breaker for the compressor power supply. It seems to be a trade-off. Cheap heat for a large electricity consumption. No. No. I mean, can't tell you exactly what the kilowatts are, but it does not use, I mean, it uses more electricity than an oil burning furnace, indeed, but not that much. Not that much. You know, when we got in there, they had, the guy also had some baseboard heating. And I think, I'm trying to remember, our first January up there was like $500 worth of electricity. And I don't think that we have ever spent $100 a month on electricity for the geothermal. Maybe close. Maybe like a couple winters ago. It was super, super cold. Left Coast Marcus. Mitt may have not have pooped his pants, but he sure did shit the bed. Indeed. Clower. Are we sure the Republicans don't have this idiot Willard confused with Peter Uberoth, who ran a real Olympics in a real city? Calhoun John. Romney is the worst candidate since 1924 Democratic nominee John W. Davis. Calvin Coolidge doubled Davis's popular vote. Davis was a corporate lawyer and ambassador to England. Into architecture. Since when did you buy the malarkey that corporations are people with the same rights as the rest of us? A number of towns banned Walmart by banning superstores, stores over a certain gross square footage. Towns could ban Chick-fil-A by banning restaurants with a certain number of locations. Well, I have no problem with that. I'm not saying that they can't do these things. And certainly if they're doing it for those reasons, but there's nothing that Chick-fil-A is doing, or Chick-fil-A or whatever the heck that is doing that I think it's proper to ban them for. You can't just say because they say this. They don't have a store policy that reflects it in any way. If they are discriminating against people hiring, then you take legal action against them. But, and if you're talking about zoning, you're talking about, you know, sort of the implications of a building, and or the implications of a certain type of industry, I think that's fair game. But just because the guy said something, I just don't think that's, that's appropriate. Because look, the turnaround is, I mean, I think it's a First Amendment issue, frankly. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. You know, what if, would it be legitimate for Kansas, you know, some, for Wichita to ban a company because they support gay marriage? Just because they support gay marriage? I don't think so. I don't think that would be legitimate. Never mind wrong, but I think it would be illegitimate. I'd like to see all cities and towns issue business licenses to only to locally owned businesses. I'm on board with that. I'm on board with that. Let's go to the phone, 646-257-3920. Is this Michael in Florida?
Oh, Miami. How you doing, Miami?
Oh, Miami. Hey, what's going on, Michael?
Oh, I'm sorry. It'd be a disappointment. Sorry about that.
No. I'm sorry. I just had to turn on the sound. I had left the sound off.
Listen, I just wanted to, on the Chick-fil-A thing, your homeboy over there, the Boston Bruins, Mr. Tim Thomas, the goaltender, has already posted on his Facebook page that he sides with Chick-fil-A. So I thought that might be somewhat distressing for a native Massachusetts.
Oh, dude, I had to deal with Kurt Schilling.
Right, Right, right. Well, this is the guy who decided not to go to see Obama at the White House because he objected to his tax policies. You know?
Well, that's, I mean, but, he's an idiot, but that's fine.
Right, exactly. And the point is that, that idiots have the right to be idiots. I think you and Cliff hit it on the head regarding that, because I think in this situation, it's not akin to those old restaurants in the South, which were fodder for the old Commerce Clause for desegregation.
Right,
in fact,
exactly.
You know, one of the things was... Well, sorry?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, in the old Commerce Clause, I mean, you went to law school for a period of time, so you know that the Commerce Clause was used to desegregate a lot of those restaurants in the South.
Yep.
And it was actually a brilliant bit of legal thinking, because they utilized the idea of public transportation in those roads as having been in interstate commerce, was directly impacting these restaurants, which are importing their food and materials from other parts of the country. And so they utilized that to go ahead and break the color barrier at those restaurants, and rightfully so. This is different. This is just a guy expressing his personal opinion. You know, you may disagree with it, but they can't exactly keep him out of there just because he's expressing an opinion. Otherwise, you start to take the tack of the very people you despise.
Well, and it's, I mean, you know, there are certain tactics of the very people I despise that I would certainly use. But one of them is not to curtail a guy's First Amendment rights. I mean, I don't think if Chick-fil-A or whatever it is.
It's Chick-fil-A. They actually sponsor a college football game in Atlanta every year. It's actually fairly popular.
If they if they had some type of policy that reflected that, we won't serve gay people.
They have to do it. It has to be an overt act.
We're not going to hire gay people.
Right. There has to be an overt act at that point in time, which they directly utilize. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of an interesting sidebar. Listen, as far as you and Cliff go with Rahman, that was hilarious stuff, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's still essentially a tie game. With all of his buffoonery and all of his goofballishness and lack of whatever, it's still 46-46 everywhere you look. In fact,
no.
I guess in Virginia, Obama's lost his lead. He's probably lost the lead in Indiana and North Carolina if he even had one. You guys talked about Pennsylvania extensively. I can tell you my state's going to go for Romney probably.
No.
So, you know, with all this goofiness and
I disagree.
He still will get. He still has a better than 50-50 chance to win.
Wrong.
This is what's amazing.
No. I don't agree with anything you've just said.
Tell me why I'm wrong. I just gave you a half dozen swing states which are in play.
I think that if you look at Virginia, you know, like even if you go to the real clear politics, right? They have Obama, the RCP average. Now, you know, you got Rasmussen, all that crap in there. So, you know, you can't even really go with that. But
Quinnipiac was quoted by Matthews on the other day as being 50-42 at one point. Now it's tied at 46.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, and Matthews went on the air.
Do they include in that poll this dude?
Charge.
Do they include Virgil Good in that poll?
I don't know.
I can tell you right now, if they came out with that number, the answer is no. But Virgil Good's not going away. I think, how many times is, you're down in Florida. How many times has Mitt Romney been down there campaigning?
In the last month, not a whole lot, actually.
Yeah, zero.
Not a whole lot.
Zero.
Yeah, well, don't forget, I mean, if he picks Rubio as VP candidate, which is, I think, unlikely, by the way, even though
not happening.
Our former fat-ass governor thinks that that'd be the good way to go, it might change the calculus a little bit. But, no, it's been surprisingly quiet in that regard. They're more interested in trying to take down Debbie Wasserman Schultz and make her life miserable, strangely enough.
Yeah,
you know
why?
Actually,
because, I'm telling you, not happening.
Is she the majority leader now? I think she is.
Yeah, no, yeah. She's DCCC. It's not happening. He's not, you got to look at the states, the swing, states. And I just don't see it. Now it's closer than it would be if the economy wasn't, such crap. And I guess it's conceivable that the economy could fall off a cliff in the next 3 months, but I think it's just going to be a slow burn. And in that case, people are already feeling this pain. I just don't think it's going to happen. Compare where Romney is now in these states to where McCain was in 2008.
I understand that, but I think the dynamics are a little bit different when you have a sitting incumbent president. Number
yes,
one,
it's harder to unseat. It's harder. Fired. It's harder to.
Hold on a second. But no, the dynamics, look, you and I have followed this stuff because I've been doing it for most of my adult life, and I covered it professionally for about 15 years, and you love it too. So we look at these things differently. Most of the American people do not do that. Dude, at the end of the day, they're going to walk into the voting booth probably after the first debate. When the first debate takes place, that'll be when that last 6 or 8% hardens up either way. And they're going to make a decision and simply say, do I want to bring this guy back or not? It's as simple as that.
Right.
It won't be anything about Mitt Romney. It won't be anything about the Republicans, as important as those policies will be. It's going to be, do I want to rehire this dude or not? And I don't – I have a hard time answering that question in the affirmative.
I think people who actually – you know what? I disagree with all of what you just said again. Because I think the people who are holding out, I don't think they just see it as a referendum on Obama. I just don't think it is. I think those people actually are the ones who will sort of say, like, Obama or Romney. Now, the depth of that decision, I agree with you, may not be terribly deep. It may not be function on policy. But, you know, the Fox had a poll up. Which guy do you like better? Who is what was the actual poll? Who do you like better? Basically, it was. But who do you like better? Who they were deriding it as a popularity vote. 60%
Who's more likable?
Who's more likable? 60% said right. Obama, 30% said Romney. I mean,
yeah, no, I think those give those guys some credit. They understand when they're in a black hole when it comes to certain disadvantages. They're not going to try to win the campaign based on personality. What they're going to try to do is paint it as being exactly what they tried to do. They are holding on. A lot of these Republican governors and certainly Congress and the House of Representatives, dude, they are holding on to the economy with both hands, like trying to hold back a horse with both hands on the reins, doing everything possible to slow down the rate of growth
sure.
in any way, shape, or form.
Without a doubt.
And
but, you know, here's the truth.
As long as they can create that optical illusion that people are going to blame the incumbent because, look, it sucks. He's in charge. Never mind, we're the ones who are, like, strangling the horses. We can't let him run. Look, he's in charge. Point him. Get after him.
And you have to presume.
Day, I think that's
listen,
what people are going to
look first
at.
First off, the governors in these states are caught between a rock and a hard place because they can't go out and say that their economy stinks because they're going to get blamed for
and
it.
And I covered that story.
Right.
I understand that.
A. And B, it's going to have to get significantly worse by the first week of November for that argument to change any of the dynamics that we're already seeing. But we'll have a better sense, you know, like you say, after the first debate. But I
think it'll be over by the first debate. I don't think there's a lot of people going to be holding out. This isn't going to be Reagan, Carter, and 80 when they waited in the last week. Of course, they only had one debate back then, and it wasn't right. all the last week. But I mean, this is a different animal. I think people have basically said that's it. Unless they can make a compelling reason to get him out of there or keep him, and that'll be done. I think at the first debate when you see him side by side, the decision should be done by then.
We shall see. Yes. Michael in Miami, thanks for calling, buddy.
You
appreciate it.
The best. Take care.
Thanks.
Yep. Thanks.
Let's go back to the IMs. Just got a couple minutes left here. Crystal Count, Romney visits Paris. Well, I'd replace a lot of these old bridges for starters. Romney in Beijing. Lesson number one, learn some Anglo-Saxon. Am I in a country or ordering soup? In Venice, boats. Can't they say buongiorno to some autos? In Kenya, and I thought our Negroes needed help, says Crystal Count, Jay Tingle, the Mr. Jaws record you refer to was part of a tradition that goes back to the 50s when they were mainly outer space themed. Albert Brooks did a parody of this genre on his first album. He even wrote the songs. Ooh, I think I have that album. Albert Brooks's comedy albums are fantastic. For the flip side, he does one thing where he does like all these like prank phone calls that just don't work out. It's really funny, actually. For the flip side of the Elite Squad POV, there's a documentary called Bus 174, which recounts an episode in which a street kid in Rio holds bus passengers hostage and the history of children that led to that event. Also, listen to The Hunt by Selp
Sepultura on the KSAD album. That's a lot of culture for me to absorb at one time, Jay. Gulfstream 2 1090 forum is up on YouTube. Is the whole thing? I'll check it out. V. Rocco, the 10th Doctor from Doctor Who, should have slapped Romney before getting back in the TARDIS. I think we know who is bitter and who's not the majority blend. Oh, thank you, Mr. Rocco. Obama, still in the lead in Virginia, indeed. Morella, 622. Hey, Sam, happy casual Friday. I enjoyed your little anecdote about Milo wanting to write jokes, which you didn't think are funny. Two comments. One, the fact that she is trying to do this is funny already. Two, a jury of her peers should be the judge, not you. Do her friends like them and think they are funny? Kids have a different sense of humor. My granddaughters laugh all the time. It's about stuff that I don't find funny. Well, Morella, I get your point, but I'm a professional comedian. And so even if her friends think they're funny, they're not funny. If I, as a professional comedian, deem that they're not funny. I mean, we need to have some standards. And this this humor relativism that you liberals like to promote, I'm not down with that. It is funny if I say it's funny. If it's not, if I don't say it's funny, it's probably not funny. That's just the way, it's what happens when you get your comedy practitioner's license. Par Prague. Liberals can't give in to the desire to ban rather than to pursue boycotts. For our democracy to work, we have to be able to trust citizens to vote with their wallets, at least on generally known issues. Par Prague, down with humor relativism. I think this is the case, you know, when we're talking about First Amendment issues. Sagita. Why have the Democrats accepted the absurd position that defending why a central government is a good thing? Let's see. Our country has to make a decision. That's hard. Let's make a list of pros and cons. Liberals ask experts to speak only if the government is the good guy. Then they interrupt to say, see, that's why we need government. It's getting desperate. I'm not sure I follow what you're saying here. Things that have nothing to do with government are getting hijacked by people trying to make the stupid argument using anyone available to legitimize it. I know you know this, Sam, but people need to learn how to debate, so afraid to disagree, so there is no discussion at all. Good ideas can hold their own. We have the easy part. Long Doggy. I actually missed the original film guy. What's his name? The horizontal dude. He was bad, but in a way that was funny to listen to. Any chance you can get him back? Send him some chocolates or something from Just Coffee. Tell him he's missed, at least by me. You're talking about Chris Rosen. He won't respond to me when I email him anymore, so I don't know.
He's big time now. Huffington Post.
Is that he's working full time at Huffington Post?
Yeah. Their entertainment. I think Movie Phone collapsed into.
Oh, right. AOL Movie Phone, probably. I tried to find the explanation, the Chick-fil-A, and specifically the spelling. It's not on their website. It's not on Wikipedia. I'm going to say it's spelled phonetically to help people in the South where they start to pronounce it. Another clue is the slogan, eat more chicken, with no G and no apostrophe. Oh, my computer just froze up. Bear with me, folks. I will get to it in just a second. Okay, here we go. Sugar High 777. Maybe I'm naive, but I don't think there's any possibility of Romney winning. Republican chickens have come home to roost. Obama's the candidate you want to have a beer with. Romney is a Republican John Kerry, not in terms of substance, just on purely superficial terms. Langdon, bus 174. Oh, this is a Matthew film guy. Bus 174 was a doc directed by the same director as the Elite Squad films. Oh! So kudos to Jay. I don't know if Jay knew that, but kudos to both of you. PF 1800, how is Romney going to get through three debates without alienating everyone? I just think he's going to come off as stiff. I don't think he's going to. People are never as bad in debates as you imagine they're going to be. It's not inconceivable that he'll say something that is just like, people are just like, what? But I just don't think.
I don't know. I think this guy might be the one.
I don't know. It's possible. But generally, I think people are just, who you anticipate are going to be bad in debates are just not bad. Although, I will say this, that usually when we anticipate someone being bad in a debate, it's that they're so stupid that they get
outmaneuvered by the smarter person. That's not the case here. I'm not making a judgment one way or another. I just don't think that's the expectation. The expectation is that Romney's going to just say something that would otherwise be completely innocuous and is going to reveal him to be such a dick. Now that, have we ever been in a scenario where that has been the people anticipating it? You know, people thought like, oh, Al Gore is going to try and get professorial. I don't remember a debate where somebody thought like, oh, he could slip up and just say something like the little people over there. Like, I just want to come out and say thank you for inviting me to this debate. And I got to say, the technical people are unsung people here. And these guys didn't even smell. You know, something just sort of like where he's trying to be nice and he just sort of craps on somebody. Dradmanthes, for all his faults, Obama is an excellent campaigner while Romney is a lousy one. It may be as simple as that. Sam, for the members, could you please explain your schedule for August a little more? Is the 4 days a week vacation schedule, or is that a permanent change? And have a good weekend. I'm not sure. We haven't made a determination on that. And I'm not sure that it will be 4 days. I'm going to take a week in August. I'm not sure it's going to be 4 days every week in August, but it may be for a couple. Contemplating changes, and we've been talking about this for a while. With the schedule, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. So there's no plans. Let's put it that way. By the way, I teach Brazilian film and can confirm Elite Squads 1 and 2 are great. Another good Brazilian film is The Bus, is the Doc Bus 174 from 2002. And now he goes on to say, now that it's taken, I'll recommend another Brazilian film, Lina de Passe, Life is What You Make It, from 2008, as well as a crazy film called Macanumanagu from 1968. They're not on DVD. Not sure about Netflix. Oh, they are on DVD. Okay. What are the chances that we would have somebody who actually teaches Brazilian film? Right? I mean, that's a fairly, it seems to me that would be a fairly. Ugh, my computer's frozen again. Bear with me, folks. Let's see if I can get this up here. Okay. All right, and now we'll go back to Sagita. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Walmart that female employees weren't discriminated against because Walmart did not have an explicit policy of discrimination, free speech for the employer. Unspoken law is still enforced. The only reason the Yankees will win tonight is because of Ichiro. We'll bust someone in from Pawtucket if I can effing pitch. Parprog, what I'm excited for is Biden to run rings around whichever boring Republican they choose for VP. B. Rocco, everyone check out Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick tonight, 7:10 on radio or not. And the final I Am of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. Goes to Calhoun John. Did you see 1.5% GDP growth last quarter? This is Romney's only chance. It's going to have to be a little bit less than that, I think, for him to have a chance. All right, folks, have a great weekend. See you on Monday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the Nets are gonna kick in, and my pilot light's shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get to my loss for drive.